I think when you do something and you feel right, I think there's actually chemicals are dropped into your body.
So right.
Yeah,
so right.
It's a high. You know?
100%.
There must be some little gland that.
Are you feeling it right now?
You're feeling pretty good about yourself, man.
Hey, it's called 11, Glenn.
Puffing.
Puffing.
Well, it's got to be something.
Puff you up.
People, endorphins. People will kill to be right, so it got to be something good about it.
Hey, what kind of starter are you using over there? Can you share some?
Bill puts two shots of espresso.
Oh, that's bad.
Luke chapter 1.
Yeah, but you don't walk any faster coming home. You'd be going up.
I'd be really slow if you didn't.
Oh, okay. That's it.
Verse 33. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're studying this mystery of reigning, basileu. To exercise the highest control over something, the highest control and influence possible. We looked at a bunch of different things of reigning, and we got one last one to do. We studied last time in Romans 5 about death reigned from Adam to Moses. The point of it, and death is still reigning. Let's go back there real quick. Romans 5.
I need to make a quick comment. Last night, I was thinking or contemplating or whatever. And you know how you always talk about you don't think? And you,
if I think, I say, Father, forgive me.
Yeah, and I used to say that, and I thought, well, I don't know why he's saying that. It can't be true. Yeah. That I just couldn't conceive of that really being true, of that being a way of being. But last night, it was like that all just came to pass that, you know, I've thought all my thoughts, and I've been run all those rabbits, and there's nothing there, and it became a joy to abandon continually. It was just a real funny experience. And when we talk about rain, and that's what I'm trying to do. What reigns over the gray matter?
Yeah, yesterday at one of the meals, I forgot which, Tom blurted out that no one ever pays any attention to me.
To your ear.
He was saying that about me.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of looked at him in one of those looks and said, Tom, does that mean you're not paying any attention when I teach in Bible study? And
everybody knows that's not you, though. You were at the gallery.
All right. Just one verse in chapter 5, 17. For if by one, Romans 5, 17, if by one of man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, that means that in him you see that everything, including you, including your mind, had no longer all of the things that reigned in you previously no longer have any influence. And that includes what you were talking about. The reason I don't pay any attention to my thinking is because I know that my thinking has one source. The source of thought is in the evil one. And I've already run that rabbit. Come now, let us reason together. The highest that reason can take you is that your sin is as scarlet. That's the highest That's why presenting yourself as a living sacrifice is the highest that man can achieve. And until you understand that, you're going to still be, death is still reigning in you. You've made a covenant with death, and at hell are you at agreement. You understand? Let's go to Isaiah.
Isn't there a psalm where God says, thou knowest my reins? Is that the same?
No, reins, there's your kidneys. It's a different spelling. That means even the excrement functions of your body he's reigning over.
Where are we going?
Isaiah. This is me searching where in Isaiah. I thought I knew, but I didn't. Yeah, Isaiah 29. Verse 8. We're taking a side trip here. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there's no place clean. Now, what does that mean?
Did you say Isaiah 29?
No, I'm starting Isaiah 28. I'm sorry. There's no place clean. It's because everybody is drunk on the wine of Ephraim. And all you can do is belch out pre-digested stuff. So all tables are full of vomit, and there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering are mocking lips, and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken, snared and taken. And that's the point at which you find out that your mind is crap, dung. And all of the words that you speak are just pre-digested vomit that some of someone else's. You think you have original thoughts. There is no place clean. There's no original thoughts. There's nothing new under the sun. You're just following in the same idolatry that every man has followed since the fall. Now, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You've made lies your refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's what the purpose of the hail and the plagues is. The hail sweeps away your refuge of lies. Now, what does it mean to have a refuge of lies and under falsehood you've hid yourselves? Anybody have any ideas?
It's the way we live. It's the things that occupy our mind. It's the jobs we do. It's the...
You've made lies your refuge. You've made self-realization or your imagined self-realization your refuge. And under those falsehoods have you hid yourself. Everybody understand that?
Delusions. Just delusions.
It's delusions. All of the value systems of the world are the delusions under which you've hid yourself. And in doing so, you automatically have to face toward the east. You have to face toward the rising sun because you believe that everything is under control and tomorrow will take care of it. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay. Anybody know what that means? John?
Yes.
Anybody else?
Don't worry, be happy.
No, it's that you think that because you have thought it, it will become to an end. You'll get it. And so even if you get it, you've already eaten or tasted and you've taken the value of what that accomplishment might have been or was. You've already gotten the enjoyment of it from thinking about it. And so even if you accomplish it, it means nothing. The whole system of thought of the human race is based on lies.
So you go for the best lie, and that's what you try and make work for you. That's, I think, what the brain does.
Well, I mean, do you understand? I don't want you to think about this philosophically. I want you to see this, that this is what you have done. We're going to go on. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then shall ye be trodden down by it. For from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring it to pass, his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be you not mockers. Anyway, do you see what this refuge of lies means to the human race, to you? If I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, then I'm okay. It's just like the Jews. The Jews believed that because they were born in the genetic line of the Jewish race, that they had to do something extraordinarily bad in order to lose that. Look at what's happened in Christianity. The same thing. Once saved, always saved. That means once a baby, always a baby. Salvation is just the merest of beginnings. What? You're chewing on
this
something.
This is what I see as the best. better of the lies, the best lies. It always ends up in this realm because that's where the best ones are, is in the religion.
Well, of the basic best lie of all that you could possibly conceive of if you're a young Muslim is I'm going to go do an act of terrorism and I will be received into heaven with 72 virgins to service me. If that were true, I'd much rather have 72 practice whores. I mean, the illusions and delusions of the human race are beyond comprehension. Oh, what? We don't have to worry about taking care of the poor because that's where they are in the cycle of life and they're reincarnated. And I don't have to worry about what I do because then I'm reincarnated to something else. Oh, I know, if I can just achieve nothingness, nirvana, then I'll be okay. Or if I can just learn by the hatha yoga to control my body, then I'll be okay. The lies are across the spectrum of the human race. That's why there's only two theologies. The theology of the cross and the theology of glory. The theology of the cross accepts your death that Christ might be resurrected in you, and the best you can be is a friend of the bridegroom. The theology of glory in its every form of human thought is something that increases your self-realization, whether it's financial, whether it's societal, whether it's philosophy or psychology or psychiatry or any other thing. And it's a theology of glory instead of the theology of the cross. What?
This is preparation for Passover. This is attacking and recognizing, being able to see the idols that tend to be able to hide and not be seen as idols. Turn the truth into a lie. I mean, that's the nature of, all right, I'll say it to my mind.
That's the nature of all men's minds. That's why I don't pay any attention to my mind. And if it seemed like I repented, that's all I did, because I'd always have a good idea. And every time I did, it may last for 2 or 3 days, and then I said, oh God, how am I that stupid again? Oh, I've got a solution. No, I don't. Okay, we're going back to raining. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. We're talking about let's destroy the covenant with death and destroy the agreement we've made with hell. Please, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, let's talk about it. If it doesn't register someplace. John?
Describes my life perfectly. More material things than ideas, but I saw something I wanted, I immediately set on a path to get it. Houses, cars, clothes, vacations, whatever it was. As soon as I got it, I found something else I wanted more. That doesn't last long.
But one of the things that is critical, what my business life when I left Teledyne was in deals. And I always convinced myself that the deal, all I needed was some other little thing, and then it would be okay. Does that sound familiar to anybody? And it's just you've made an agreement with hell, because you're always looking towards tomorrow. All right. Oh, wait, we can do this. Start in verse 35. Well, for 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. The word in the Greek is much stronger than fool. It's thou madman. And he's talking to those that this whole idea of whatever the prevalent idea of heaven is. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And so in all of the visions of heaven that Christians and everybody else has, if they have a vision of heaven or nirvana or whatever you want to call it, it leaves off this mystery of death. But death is death. What?
And he calls them fools.
Madmen.
Yeah.
And that which thou sow, and this is the kicker, that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain, if it may chance be of wheat or some other grain, then God gives it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed his own body. You don't plant a pecan and get a pecan. You plant a pecan and get a tree. You don't plant a seed, orange seed, and get an orange. You get a tree. And so that which you sow isn't the thing that is risen up. And you, wherever you look in nature, you see that's true. So, oh no, when I die, I am going to heaven and I'm going to go run around or when I die, I'm going to go up and have 72 virgins or whatever it is.
And you're going to be the best holy ever.
That's a disgusting thought.
But then I'm thinking that because I think that's as far as the mind can take it. You can't imagine what body God might give you.
He's not giving you anything. He's giving a bribe.
Well, whatever.
It's yeah. All right. Well, let's go on down. We're going to spend all day in this. It goes on in that vein for the next few verses. And then in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit or a life-giving spirit. Now, again, if I say to you, If Jesus Christ was the last Adam, who are you? Adam just is a member of the human race. If he was in truth the last Adam, then who are you? Have you ever contemplated that? There's been this being that's masqueraded as you your entire life. And his one purpose is keeping you from this mystery and keeping you forever alone. And that loneliness is beyond comprehension. That's why we do all kinds of busy things to keep from facing that aloneness, that heart-rending loneliness. All right. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. There are only two generations. You understand that? When the Bible talks about the generation of Adam and the generation of Messiah. There aren't any. All these guys, well, our generation's 40 years, so that means blah, 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 then this will happen, and that's when this is going to happen in the future, and that. That's all bullshit. Now, are you the generation of Adam? That means you're dead. Are you still trying to live as the generation of Adam with self-realization? That means you're an idiot. Oh, no, but my idiocy is really special. I have all these little deals that I believe in. Well, you haven't tested them. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so also shall we bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. I said all that to say these next few verses. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, transfigured. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So death no more reigns. Death is swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? Now that's a quote. Let's go to Hosea 13, real quick. Verse 14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. And repentance shall be hid from thine eyes. So the last enemy to be destroyed, or that was destroyed, is death. But we can't conceive of that because we think that something is still going to happen to us. We died on the cross. And until that penetrates, until that is realized in you, then you're always going to think that you have to do something, you have to be something, you have to fix something, you have to blah, 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 blah. And you'll feel obligation, and the minute you feel obligation, then love is impossible. And it will be evidenced in your countenance. Amen.
What does it mean when it says, repentance shall be hid from mine eyes? It's talking about destroying death in the grave. I see why you didn't repent of that.
Well, because it's you repented not as a repentance of the world, but it's godly repentance, not to be repented of.
This isn't God talking? I thought it was God talking.
It is, but you, there's no more repentance if you're dead.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure it out.
No, he's talking about that. Boom. Does that make sense?
No, but...
All right.
No, I remember...
He's speaking prophetically.
Yeah, I remember the difference in the two repentances, and that's what you said reminded me of that. So he's saying he's not going to back off from having done this thing he said.
Right.
That I got.
Okay. Well, the one thing that I want you to see is the fruitlessness. All that your mind can produce is this agreement with hell. You've made a covenant to avoid death. All right?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.